Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust. Okay, there we go. Hey, I figured it out because I am Bob and I'm very good at my job. The 1 week everybody ain't here. Oh, hey there, everybody. Welcome to Why We Bust. You may recognize me from episode one. My name is Bob Anderson. I am a member of the Windy City Ghostbusters, and this is Why We Bust, a show where we learn about the individuals in the ghostbusting community at large and to answer the question that's on everybody's mind, what makes them tick? So, normally you guys are used to seeing the lovely Kristen on hosting the show. Kristen Slimer is currently out of town. She's enjoying a little break, which means I got picked to host the show this evening. Because I am the director at the end of the day. So that's just the way it's going to be. You guys are stuck looking at my beautiful face for the rest of the evening. Joining us as the guest of Why We Bust, one of my best friends in the entire world, one of the finest examples of what a Ghostbuster is in this hobby. He is my friend. He is my president, as I'm a member of his team as well. He is the graphic design wizard, as I stole that title from him. Above all, he is an amazing human being. Everybody give a warm welcome to Jacob Bartlett of the Circle City Ghostbusters.
Well, you can't inflate my ego like this, Bob. Ooh, I'm feeling good about myself now, man.
Feeling good. Hey, Vix, nice to see you on Twitch. Yes, it's wonderful to see you, Jacob.
Wonderful to see you. It's been I don't know, let's see, when was the last time we spoke?
Today.
Well, I mean, you know, with voices,
2 days ago.
Yeah,
we streamed Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. Jeez, I can't even talk, guys. So quick PSA for everybody: I'm recovering from an appendectomy, sir. My appendix got removed and I'm currently dealing with the outcome of that situation of my surgical procedure. So if I'm a little jumbled, just bear with me. I'm still getting used to being human again. So Jacob, what's that?
I said, and thank the knife.
The pocket knife.
Yeah. Well, Simpsons reference.
That is a great Simpsons reference, by the way. So Jacob, let's talk about you. So we usually split the show up into two parts. Let's talk about you, the Ghostbuster, and then let's talk about you, the Jacob. So Let's talk about your first experience with Ghostbusters. Walk me through what it was. Maybe you watched it for your first time as an adult. Maybe you watched it as a kid. But where is that show for you?
There is no time in my life where Ghostbusters hasn't been a presence. Like when I was as young as I can remember, it's always been there. My brothers and I were raised on Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles, so that was just there from day one. I've got an older brother who's two, almost 3 years older than me, and he was into it. So, you know, when you're a kid and your older sibling's into something and you're that close in age, you're into it too. And that's just the way it was.
I like to hear that. What was your first age seeing Ghostbusters?
I mean, dude, I can't even remember because it's just, like I said, it was always there. I'm sure that it was on when I was a baby in a, you know, crib or something. I've got tons of photos of me as a very young kid wearing Ghostbuster stuff. My mom would make us jumpsuits, and there's a picture of me and my brothers. My mom took us to a Sears at one point, and the jumpsuits she had made for us, and so it's like I said, man, it's just always been there. I can't remember a time when there wasn't Ghostbusters in my life.
Favorite Ghostbuster as a kid?
Oh, as a kid, I've always liked Ray, but when it came to the real Ghostbusters, it was always Winston. So Ray for movies, Winston for the cartoon.
I'll let Ernie know that personally. That Rory, that we beat him out.
Yeah. I had a home video of my first haircut, and I'm bawling the whole time, and the only thing that calms me down is at one point I get a Winston action figure during it. I get the little Kenner figure.
Not much has changed, by the way, folks.
No, I still cry about haircuts. That's why I'm looking like this.
Buddy.
Yeah, you got me beat there. I am getting a little shaggy, though. I need to.
I think the missus probably still has to bribe you with Winston figures to get your haircut, huh?
Yeah, yes, pretty much.
Ghostbusters, you have two cartoons. The first movie was obviously prevalent in your life all the way through childhood, as we just talked about. But what about the second movie, or the real Ghostbusters? Like, what was that like for you? Or even Extreme Ghostbusters in the 90s.
I've been told that I was taken to see Ghostbusters 2 in the theater, and that Viggo scared me so bad. I was 3 at this point, by the way. And Viggo scared me so bad, I hid under the seat for a majority of the film. So so there was that. I mean, real Ghostbusters was always on. Like I said, I was raised on it. You know, that was back in the day when you had to catch cartoons on TV at a certain time, or watch them on VHS, and I know we wore out several VHS tapes of the real Ghostbusters and the movies.
And as far as Extreme goes,
I was there. I was there.
Extreme Ghostbusters, well, or
not so much. I don't remember watching it too much back then, but I don't remember a lot from back then. So I love it though. I mean, let's put on Extreme Ghostbusters right now. Let's just ditch this.
Oh, dude, you want to ditch this? Norm, somewhere out there, is blood is boiling. Checking in with chat. Dave Dimension says, GB and TMNT is a great combination, so much so that we got toys of them recently-ish. And a comic book. And a comics that Jacob adores. And to me, Winston has always been the heart of the Ghostbusters, and you would be correct. And I'm just saying that because Ernie Hudson would beat me up in a fight.
And you know, that man looks so good. I was so happy to see all that viral stuff recently about him. You know, like, oh, how does he look this good at this age? It's like, he's
a vampire. There's no other explanation about it. Ernie is a vampire, like, through and through. Hey, Rudy, nice to see you. And Chris Richard says, what's up, guys? I'm a big Ghostbusters fan, too. All right, so you saw Ghostbusters 2 in theater, which makes me jealous because I predate that by 1 year, so I never got to see it in theaters, and you had the cartoon. We went through the, as a lot of old time Ghostbuster fans call it, the great lull from end of Extreme Ghostbusters all the way to, when we had like Afterlife. So the comics were being published, but they were very quiet, and we had like, you know, a couple different things going on. What did Ghostbusters mean for you post Extreme Ghostbusters during that entire lull period?
So, yeah, I mean, that would have been when I was in, you know, middle and high school, and a little after graduation, getting into college and all of that. And I know that's when I started trying to find costume stuff, because, you know, nothing was happening with it. Like, yeah, you said we had some comics and there was a book. I had that book, The Ghostbusters The Return, that came out in like 2004, but there was nothing.
Man, that's a highly sought after collectible at this point, man.
That it is. And so, you know, it was just kind of, it was that movie everyone loved, you know? Like, if you like, everyone liked Ghostbusters, you could just talk to anybody about it back then, but there was nothing coming out, and that was a bummer. But thankfully, we don't have that problem.
We don't have that problem. Now, were you lurking on forums or chat rooms, or maybe even Ryan Espen's roleplay AOL chat room we recently discovered he made?
No, kind of. I was on Ghostbusters.net's forums, and I would kind of lurk there. I didn't talk too much.
By the way.
Well, that's true. I don't have a lot to say. But yeah, man, you know what that time did to me? The worst thing that it did is it gave me this complex where I see something with a Ghostbusters logo on it, and I'm like, I have to buy it. because there's not going to be anything else for like another year or two. I got these NECA Ghostbusters figures, and there's not going to be any more Ghostbusters toys for.
And now we have the G.I. Joe model ones coming out.
I have to tell myself, like, refrain. It's fine.
What is your most valued Ghostbusters memory from pre-hobby Ghostbusters, Jacob?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I did get to see the Universal show.
That's really cool.
We went to Universal when I was a kid, and we got to see it. And I distinctly recall being furious that because they do a pre-show. And they select a kid to get like slimed or something. And I remember being really freaking mad that it was not me. So that's basically, I think that was it. But, I mean, that show was so cool.
If you can go back and tell that kid who got slimed over you one thing, what would you tell them?
I tell him, you can have this. Later in life, I'm going to get to go to 2 Ghostbusters movie premieres.
That kid, everybody, turned out to be Jason Reitman. It's like, yeah, I got to do 2 movies. And then Jason Reitman's like, yeah, I made 2 movies, but.
Hey, I made 2 fan films, whatever.
And they're really great fan films. And we will touch base on that because you're one of the most prevalent Ghostbusters fan filmmakers in the community today, which is a really cool thing, you and your team. But we're not at that point just yet. We're going to keep talking a little bit about your love for the fandom. What is your most memorable Ghostbusters merch growing up? And I'm going to say pre 2016 because your Proton Pack doesn't count.
No. Definitely the firehouse my dad made. I mean, I don't know if that counts because it's homemade, but
no, that definitely counts.
Yeah, my dad would always make stuff from like old refrigerator boxes, like race cars and stuff. And we couldn't find the firehouse. At least I think I'm telling this story right, but we couldn't find the firehouse. Eventually I would get it, but we had one that he made us out of cardboard for a really long time. And I remember that very fondly.
That's amazing. That touches more heart when it's a handmade object versus like something you bought, but I'm not going to, But I do need to know your favorite, like, official merchandise growing up.
Official merchandise. Would it be, I guess, the suits, man? Because I wore those things everywhere. I have that GB2 one that says, back off, man, I'm a Ghostbuster on the back. And I have a picture of me from, like, second grade or something. It's like a class photo. And all the kids are, you know, dressed nice. And there I am in my back off, man, I'm a Ghostbuster jumpsuit. And
that's amazing.
I kept hold of it. Both my kids have worn it. So
that's absolutely wonderful. So you took your school picture in a Ghostbusters flight suit.
Yeah, man. I got swag for days.
And we just lost all of our viewers from the dated reference from 2013. That makes my day. I'm so happy to hear that. So I have to know, how many times were you a Ghostbuster growing up for Halloween?
Ooh, I don't have those numbers in front of me.
Don't have to, but I'm assuming that was a popular.
Oh yeah, a few. I mean, I can remember some other costumes. Like, I know I was the genie from Aladdin one year.
That's pretty cool.
One year, one of my brothers and me went as the Butabi brothers from A Night at the Roxbury. But I know I was a Ghostbuster frequently.
Yes, I would assume that was something you probably went back to. Or maybe that was the one day a year where you didn't have to be a Ghostbuster.
That's the one day you feel like you have to be a Ghostbuster.
Absolutely. Somebody, Chris, pointed out in Facebook chat that today is Rick Moranis' 71st. So happy birthday, Rick Moranis. And hey there, Shannon. Nice to see you. Welcome to Why We Bust. So, at what point in Jacob Bartlett's life does he realize that there is a Ghostbusters hobby where you then get to live out every fantasy that you've ever had as like a kid of being a legitimate GB?
I mean, that happened in the mid-aughts, most likely, because I remember going to the Indiana Ghostbusters webpage and thinking, like, man, I'd love to join these guys, but I don't have a proton pack. And I, like, that was always the barrier that existed in my mind. I don't know if that barrier actually existed, and I'd have to ask Andrew Beamer on our team if it did. And
yes, the resident village elder.
Yeah. So I just didn't have the courage to reach out and ask about that. So I just kind of stalked Indiana Ghostbusters for years, and I hope that's not creepy.
Slightly.
Yeah. Par for the course for me.
So when do you take the leap? Like when I was with you, I believe one of your first events with the team, right?
Yeah. You were at my second event.
Yeah.
In 2016, I decided, cause I, for a few Halloweens at that point, I had had a flight suit and I had the, Maddie Collector PKE and the trap. And I had a belt, you know, so I was fairly far along. I was working on a pack at that point. It was about, I don't know what percentage done, because it really amped up after I joined. But, you know, with 2016 coming out, you remember what the internet was like about that movie.
That still is.
Yeah, no kidding. And I saw Circle City Ghostbusters at that point, because Indiana Ghostbusters had morphed into Circle City, and I had moved from Muncie to Indianapolis, and so I was following them, and they were being very positive about the new movie, and I messaged them just randomly one day and said, can I join? And I got a message from Nick Farnsworth saying, sure, come on in. And that's when I joined. And then my first event was actually back in Muncie, where I was from, at a comic book store. Eric Burnham was doing a signing. But then my second event you were at, and that was Indiana Comics.
I will always remember that. And I came down to hang out with Nick, and there was this dork walking around in a blue lab coat. And I was like, man, look at this guy. And now now I talk to you more than I talk to most people.
I had it figured out back then, man. All I had was the sniffer.
That was the smart decision, everybody. I need to point out that Jacob was the smart one and then became stupid and wore a proton pack.
Yep.
I say that tongue in cheek, by the way.
I definitely know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's been in your experience through the community? Like, I don't want to hear about Circle City Ghostbusters yet. We'll get to that. I'm learning. I want to know about Jacob's journey through the community over the past, 8 years? What's been like that for you?
Well, you know, I got to at least hat tip to Windy City and you. You know, you guys have been the gateway to the larger community from very early on because of, and dare I say the word, the S word, Slimapalooza. But the first Slimapalooza that you guys did, I mean, I met so many people there that I had, you know, from franchises all over, and that was awesome. And that introduced me to a bunch of people. And then the second one was the same way. Dan Hoffman was at that one, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And so, you know, at that point, I had met people from all over. That was 2018 was the second one. And then 2019 was FanFest. Met a bunch more people there. And all the time you're networking online, right? Like, because franchises will do stuff together here and there, or interact or share things. And
yeah,
Nick and I I think one year when everybody did one, I can't remember exactly which April Fool's Day prank, but we got everybody to, or not everybody, but a lot of the franchises to sign on board with the same prank we were doing, and just, you know, stuff like that. By the time I got to go to a premiere, it was like I knew at least 30 people there, and it was great to get to meet a lot of them face to face.
That it's funny, because I've developed really good relationships with these people over the years, much like you. That's not my
intermediate franchises, right? Because I belong to a few. But like people I'd only see maybe once a year if I'm lucky. I have really good relations. I have better relationships with some of them than I do like my real friends. Like I talk to them more, you know? So that's kind of funny. What would, so Jacob, you are a 30 something now. What would 30 something Jacob say to kid Jacob? Or how do you think kid Jacob would react to 30 something Jacob?
I think he would go, you know, they told me that this was not a real job. And you're telling me that this is actually, you put this on your resume? Because, I mean, I am the president of a 501c3, technically. So,
yeah.
You know, that's something. And, I mean, heck, my portfolio at this point is probably half Ghostbusters designs and stuff. So
let's talk about that, too, for a bit. Now, you are slowly turning into a pillar in the Ghostbusters community as far as Ghostbusters graphic artist. Sorry folks, my landline was ringing. You're slowly turning into a staple in that community as far in our community for graphic design. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's crazy to think that more people are recognizing me, and just absolutely wild. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I've had a lot of commissions this year so far. There's a lot of new franchises popping up thanks to the new movie, and they need logos. So I've been happy to provide a few, and you know, it's not just logos. I did a parade banner for the Persimmon Hollow Ghostbusters.
I don't know if you've seen this, but he's the creator of the Bob After Dark logo.
I did make the Bob After Dark. I made the logo that's that right there up in the corner.
I just pointed at it. Yes.
And, I, you know, been doing art for whoyougonnacall.org, which has been, you know, to tie into the community aspect a little bit. That's been an awesome project to work on.
We're going to talk about that too. I promise. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good feeling because, you know, when I joined up with Circle City, it was like, I think Nick was doing a lot of the stuff himself, just kind of in Photoshop, and he's not, I mean, it was fine. Like I'm not trying to diss anything that he's done at all, but you know, he's not a artist or designer by trade. And so I kind of took over for that. And we've had some really good success. It started kind of with patch designs. So we did the, like, No Samhain and No Boogeyman and some other ones like
that. I own every one of your patches.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But now it's, you know, it's just kind of grown from there. And I've just been having fun with it. Like, that's kind of the thing, is that I get real inspired to do it. And it's like getting the scratch the fan art itch and do something that's a little practical, puts a little money in my pocket so I can take the girls to Disney. So.
Yes, that's nice. So we will get to, that's how we're going to wrap up your private life here in just a couple minutes. And then we'll talk about you as a Ghostbuster. So where did the love for graphic design come from? Or was it just a knack that you've had and you're just like, this is a knack I have, I'm going to do this for a living?
Something very funny is that when I was in high school, because I've always liked doing art, like I've always drawn and sketched and everything. And I was in high school in my art class. I went to my art teacher and I said, I've been playing around with this program on my computer at home. It's called Photoshop and I really like it. And I think that, you know, maybe I could do an art project in Photoshop and turn that in. And my art teacher looked me dead in the eyes and said, there is no future for you in digital art. And so basically I'm just proving her wrong. This is a lot fueled by spite.
That is absolutely wonderful. I hope your art teacher ate their words.
I have no idea. I've not been back, but it's, you know, it's been just something I love to do, is playing around in Photoshop and Illustrator. I did web comics when I was in high school, you know, just made crappy things that hopefully no one will ever see, and had fun with it. And eventually,
Bob Anderson fan art.
Bob Anderson fan art. I have done some of that. And eventually it became going to college for it and making a career out of it. It's not doing something that I hate. So that's nice.
Well, that's a problem. That's half the battle, man.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, I don't want to dive too much into it, but I do know this is a major aspect in your life, and they're, you know, your family, you have a family now, you're married, and you have two beautiful daughters that are absolutely wonderful. They are following in your footsteps in the Ghostbusters fandom as like, so you're like seeing this happen again, but this time you're seeing it in real time. Tell us a little bit about that.
A little bit of history repeating. Yeah. It's one of those things where I try not to force it on them, but I know they love it too. And they love being a part of the charity aspect more than anything. They love helping to raise money for people in need, because they're both really empathetic and sweet little girls. And I love having them around. They're just silly as can be. And it's, we just like to have fun. I mean, that's basically the parenting philosophy, right? Like, just
right,
make this life fun for these little ones, and they have fun with it.
And your wife Ghostbusts with you too.
That's correct.
So this is a whole family affair at the Bartlett household.
Yeah, like if Circle City's, you know, not got a lot of members interested in something, but I want to do it, I'm just like, I can get four Ghostbusters out, no problem.
And let me tell you, because I've done events with your daughters. Your daughters do harder work than some people that are hardened, like, community franchise members. Your daughters are out there, and they'll pedal, man. They'll make you get in your pockets. They, because you guys, and we'll talk again, Circle City, we'll get for the second half of the show. I want to get to know you first. Like, your daughters will make somebody buy Ecto Cooler, man. Like, they don't play around.
Oh yeah, it's great. We love doing the Ecto Cooler stand with them, because they always want to do lemonade stands. In the neighborhood, they'll run around with their friends and they'll go grab a few toys they don't want anymore and set up a little sale place or sell lemonade or something just in the neighborhood randomly and try to make a little money. So when they get actually have like the force of doing good behind it, and it's Ecto Cooler, like our Ecto Cooler mix that we make is delicious.
I've had it myself. It is wonderful. It is the best Ecto Cooler, Vic says in chat, by the way.
Oh, one thing.
Sorry, I'm also parched myself. So let's talk about Circle City Ghostbusters. Now, you guys, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I have seen this team go from something... joining Windy City, when I joined Windy City, it's a major metropolitan franchise, right? So there's always a big expectation when you get involved. And it's like that New York, LA, whatever. You get involved in something big like that, it's big scale. Circle City in Indianapolis is like the smaller metropolitan, but you guys have grown to far exceed probably most Ghostbuster franchises out there in the country. For not only raising money, but you guys are also like, you guys are busting your butts, making sure things are done right. You guys are some of the most professional people I've ever worked with in my life. You guys are like the little engine that could, man. Like little Botswana. Have you ever heard of Botswana?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They got, do they have trees there?
I was of a Botswanian lumberjack, never had a job. I want you to know that I built up that joke when I was getting the Indianapolis thing. I was building up to that joke.
I love it. Just 10 out of 10, no notes.
So what's the, I might have popped one or two people there, but anyway, so like Indianapolis has literally grown to being like a staple and pillar in this community. Walk me through from where you guys were when I first started hanging out with Nick in like 2015 to where we're at now in 2024. And you guys are just like doing it.
Oh, sure. I mean, you can't talk about Circle City Ghostbusters without talking about Nick Farns.
Oh, Nick is the guy, man.
Yeah. He's always been our guy, and you know, was the early leader of the team and kept things going and, you know, shouldered a lot of the responsibility and a lot of the just making it happen. You know, if it was going on in those early days from, you know, when I joined in 2016 for the first year or so, it was Nick making it happen. He was all about it. And I just, you know, when I joined, I wanted to just be that kind of guy, you know, be that kind of an influence on other people, and to be able to hopefully match his energy and his passion. And we together, I think, just kind of fed off of each other a lot and built the team up. And now, like, it was when I started, it was like, we'll make an appearance at a superhero run or something. And that's great, but it's now it's like, we're getting to do Gen Con. And we never did Gen Con until last year, and we finally got in.
Which is a major deal, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's like, we just have so many events. We're busy all the time now, and it's awesome. And we've got so many members and just great, great people that, you know, I see a lot of that energy that Nick and I would share and match and feed off of. Now I'm seeing it from all these other people, and it's great, you know, like, not, and I don't, you know, I can't explain it too much other than just, we're putting in the work, you know,
you are,
like, that's the way it is.
As somebody who pays attention to the community at large as much as I do, I don't know why that's my stupid hidden talent, but as somebody that's deeply wound in the Ghostbusters hobby lore, you guys are legitimately something to, like, behold. You guys are a spectacle. You always say that, like, Indianapolis and Indiana is the flyover state, but man, you guys, it's impressive what you're able to do. And this is coming from a guy who's a part of a team that's, you know, 80 deep now, and like, you know, we're doing events every weekend. So just know that, like, coming from me, I just want you to know I'm extremely proud of the growth of the Circle City Ghostbusters. And I know a lot of that he won't take it. The compliment, but I know a lot of that is from your guidance.
Well, I mean, like I said, Nick was doing it all at the beginning when I first joined, and I didn't want him to get burnt out. And so I wanted to help, and I found that I really like it. And
you're good at it.
So,
you know, and you have some really great members too. You guys have a really good dynamic down there. And I'm speaking, obviously, by the way, folks, just so a little transparency, I am a member of the Circle City Ghostbusters in Indianapolis, as well as I am a member of Windy City. So I'm a little
biased. I'm also a member of the Circle City Ghostbusters, even though I'm wearing a Windy City Ghostbusters shirt.
Even though you're a member of the Windy City Ghostbusters. Honorary, whatever. Titling don't matter to me, but you're still... I love having you around. I see this stuff firsthand, but you guys have such good personalities down there, and you guys just get it done. And it's amazing to always see whenever I'm around. It's just awe-inspiring. From, and this is coming from, like I said, Windy City, we're busy all the time, but you guys,
it's a freight train, man. Once it gets it going, is. I'm sure you know, like, you just, there's no stopping it, even if I wanted to at this point. So
no, and what is, you guys just became a 501c3 recently with me kind of shoving you in that direction.
Well, we'd been talking about it for a really long time. And then, you know, I became the president last year. So yeah, we got like a 2-year term. So I'm out as president at the end of this year. But that was one of the things that I really wanted to push for when I finally took over that mantle, was I want to get this done. Like, we keep talking about it, but it needs to happen, or let's stop talking about it, is basically what I told everyone.
Yeah, I get like, that. All right.
I grabbed a few members. We all went into a chat together. You were in there because your team had just gone through it. And I was like, all right, we're getting this done in 3 months or we're not doing it. And we got it done. So,
yeah. So what was that like for you guys going through that motion? Cause that's a big step.
Right. No, it was good. I mean, it was a lot of learning, you know. Fortunately, like you said, we had great people in our team, and we were able to kind of leverage certain people's expertise. I got to give a shout out to Sean, Cole, and Ross. I think they kind of helped the most as far as my team goes. And you know, we got everything squared away, and it's now it's just like it's opened up doors and made things so much easier. Like, oh, we can do this parade because we're a 501c3 for free instead of paying $200. Yeah, totally. And then that helps us spread awareness of the group, which gets us more things. And then all of a sudden we're on the cover of a magazine, and it's like,
that is how did this happen? So let's talk about your role as president. So you go from guy who is lurking in Indiana Ghostbuster forums to you're now the president of one of the most influential teams in this country. Like, when I think Ghostbusters and don't like Ghostbuster franchises country-wise, there's teams that come to mind on some of the extraordinary charitable aspects that they get to do. Jeff in Arizona's, you know, the first one that always comes to mind. Jeff's just, you know, Mr. Ghostbuster.
Indiana Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and Jeff was an Indiana Ghostbuster. Then you have, you know, I think about Ben in Louisiana and, you know, a couple other groups down the line that are just doing the work. Dave Humphreys in West Virginia Ghostbusters is doing amazing things too. But I think of Circle City because you guys are just, you know, you're getting it. So what's it like being the president of an organization now that, you know, more or less like is highlighted and raised on a pedestal as an organization that like people can like legitimately, I don't know if role model's the word, but you get what I'm saying? You guys are something that other teams can look up to.
I mean, it's an honor to hear all of that. I don't really think about that kind of stuff too much, you know, like, we're having fun down here. You know, we do what we do just because we like doing it. And I mean, it's awesome to hear that other teams or other people would be looking up to us. I guess I have heard that here and there, that other people kind of like emulate what we do or whatever. But and that's always an honor. It's very humbling. I can't take a compliment to save my life. So.
Oh, you can't. No. And I know this because I'm one of me and you are, you know, best of friends. So I know how you are. That's why I'm partially doing this to embarrass you on the stream.
You just like talking to me.
I do. It's actually one of my favorite pastimes.
That's true. We talk a lot.
My partner always cracks jokes that I have my boyfriends I talk to on the phone. And you're definitely in that list.
Oh, I'm honored to be in that list.
Yes. So you yourself have recently been called a pillar of the community.
Oh my God, how embarrassing. I can't believe that.
Hey, don't feel bad. I was also on that list.
Oh, I know. No, that was a huge honor. And to get that from Jason from Ghostbusters News, who, I mean, that guy sees all, right?
Oh, like, Jason is the all-seeing eye. He's, if I was to call the Ghostbusters like a movie, like our hobby is a movie, Jason is like the narrator character who sits in the big chair with the leather-bound book. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Jason's definitely that guy.
Here we are on chapter 800. We've finally gotten to Indianapolis.
We got to Indianapolis, the flyover. So what's it like that, man? That's a title.
That was something else, man. And I mean, it's an honor, obviously, to have that bestowed upon me. I mean, I don't, like I said, I just don't think about that kind of stuff most of the time. So when something like that gets said, I'm like, really? Me? Just little me who goes to work every day and pals around with a couple of goofball kids and occasionally makes a piece of art. But I mean, that was in reference to whoyougonnacall.org, which
we're going to get to right now. You know. I think it's time. So
it's another thing.
It is. You and I started a project last year. Well, 2 years ago now at this point, right?
It was 2022, I believe, is when
we ended in 23, and then we took 23 off to, you know, stop.
Take that.
So let's talk about where, and I don't want this to be the Bob Anderson experience, because that's not it, but I'm a part of the story, so it's kind of how it is. Jacob Bartlett,
tell the Jacob Bartlett story without the Bob Anderson story.
I mean nothing in the grand scheme of things, man.
You know that you're one of my close friends, and I love you, sister.
Oh, I love you too. So let's talk about that project and where we're at now. So you and I, it all started with a phone call, as it normally does with you and I. So let's start there. Let's tell that story, and I want you to tell it because obviously you're the star right now.
So this is the map story then,
and then this is the map because it correlates to where we're at now.
Right. Yeah. One feeds into the other. So you called me one day, and you said, "I'm having one of my silly ideas," and I said, "Oh boy, here we go."
That's how it always starts.
I'm paraphrasing. This isn't word for word, but you know, you said someone had posted Stephen Greenwood's old Ghostbusters Across North America map somewhere, and I don't remember where, but that map hadn't been updated in since 2016, and people were getting chapped butts because they were like, "Oh, why am I not on here? Why is my team not on here?"
My favorite is, why is this team on the map? They don't exist anymore. And it's like, I want you to look at the date.
Yeah, there's a date on the map. So, you know, I always say if those Ghostbusters fans could read, they'd be very upset.
But I was waiting for you to crack that joke. I was wondering which one of us was going to do it.
But so you, I met Steven, and he's a friend of mine. He's a dear friend of yours.
Yeah.
And you know, he, since his name was on that, I keep looking up because I actually have it on my wall. He gave me one at Slimapalooza 2018 and signed it. And I was always a big fan of it. So you called me up and you said, "Hey, Steven's getting heck for this map that, you know, he does not have the energy or the time to redo. And what if we did it?" And in my naivete, I said, yeah, dude, let's do it. Let's just do it. I think that's how it went. I'm paraphrasing. And it was a wonderful experience. And, you know, time flew by on that one. But no, so we took submissions for 3 months. And some of them were very colorful and interesting. And, you know, we ended up posting that final thing and sent a copy of it to Ghost Core, and
which I know they received.
Yeah. I don't think we closed the door on any future versions or projects or anything, but we both were kind of tired at that point.
My heart.
This heart. Oh my God, Bob, you can't make those jokes anymore.
Yeah, after two close death experiences and under 365, you get the idea.
You're not allowed to have any more health issues this year.
No, I'm good.
But so, you know, that was in January, and we were in 2023. So, yeah, last year is when it seems like it's longer now. But so we thought we were done. And then, but when the map came out, and I think throughout the project, Ryan Espen had been talking to me and was like, "We should make this a website. You guys should make this a website, and I could help." And I was like, "Oh yeah, whatever, website, whatever." Then, you know, as we're all gearing up in excitement for Frozen Empire, I get another telephone call. "Hey, Jacob, it's me, Bob. I've been thinking. Maybe we should make a directory of some kind." And I said, "I know just the guy to help us." And you and me and Ryan Espen jumped into a chat together, and not too long after that, Pete and Tally was in there, and that was the genesis of whoyougonnacall.org. And to be clear, the genesis of it was also driven by the fact that your Facebook page went down, my Facebook page went down, New York's has gone down, Pizza's down right now.
Yeah,
so many franchises are getting taken down for no good reason, like no reason at all.
No reason at all.
It sucks. I sat there in that my franchise's page is gone in October of last year, just feeling like I can't network. I can't share the things I'm doing. We can't pro. We can't this or that. This is our primary place where people find us and where we say what we do. And like, we have a website, but who goes to individual websites primarily anymore? It's social media. So,
right.
So this is part of the solution. And I know I just said who goes to individual websites, but I do know people have been using this. We have seen the analytics.
We've gotten so good responses from it so far.
Yeah. People are going to whoyougonnacall.org. It's very exciting.
Yeah. So what does the Ghostbusters community mean to you at this point? Because look at you, man, you went from, and I'm going to tell this story to embarrass Jacob a little bit because I'm the host and I get to do that. And I know if the roles were reversed, Jacob would be doing the same thing to me immediately, probably in the first 30 seconds. Jacob told me a story of when he was cosplaying Luigi at at some sort of con, and he was Luigi from Luigi's Mansion, and he was talking to Alex, a member of the Circle City Ghostbusters now, and somebody pulled him away from the conversation. You were just like, I was just one sad, lonely Luigi at that point. Now look at you.
You want to know a funny addition to that story is the person who pulled Alex away was Nick asking him to join the group.
That's hilarious. So here, so you go from the sad Luigi to president of, you know, one of the most elite Ghostbuster franchises in the country. What does that mean to you? Like, what does Ghostbusters throwing on that flight suit? And I'm not asking the question yet, but we're getting there. What does it mean for you to be able to do what you do?
It's a strange thing to say that it has become a part of my identity, that Ghostbusters is a part of my identity, but it is, you know, like, I hope that doesn't come across too, like, you know, nerdy or strange, but it's like,
no, yeah, I think
I've been able to travel to both sides of the country because of this hobby. I've gone to movie premieres and met my childhood heroes and made tons of friends. And I mean, I can thank all that is thanks to the fact that I threw on a proton pack. So yeah. It's a very odd thing, but yeah, it's just part of who I am now. And that's the best way I can describe how it, you know, makes me feel and who it has helped me to become, because, you know, before I was doing this, I wasn't going out there and raising thousands of dollars for charity, but hey, here we are, you know, and it makes me feel like a better person, and it helps me, you know, sleep at night because of all the terrible things that I've done before this. Now I can think about the good.
And that's a positive. That's really cool.
Yeah. That part's okay. A joke, but I do feel, I do feel like, you know, I'm setting a better example for my kids because I can do this. And that's wonderful.
That's important. It's very important. So a couple more questions before we wrap up here, because we got a little bit of time. Let's talk about Jacob that's not the Ghostbuster for a little bit. What makes Jacob tick on a level that's not wearing a flight suit? Obviously, you're an amazing father. You're an amazing husband. There is no question about that. We know where we stand there. But what makes you tick when you're not husband, father, graphic design wizard? You know, what makes you tick? What are you into?
So, before I mean, you had mentioned my Luigi cosplay. I did do a bit of cosplaying before throwing on a flight suit. I always told my other cosplay friends that once I finish my proton pack, that's the end game, and they won't see me again. And that's, you know, kind of been true, but they see me at the cons. but you know, that Luigi has always been kind of like my favorite video game character. I love Nintendo stuff. You and I love to hunt retro video games when we're together, and have a very good time with that.
Yes.
You know, that's video games have always been there for me, alongside Turtles and Ghostbusters. It's been Nintendo as well, although there was a little bit of time where it was Sega Genesis. I was a Sega kid in the Sega Super Nintendo war.
Yeah, Sega does what Nintendo don't, man.
Yeah, buddy. Don't you Gunstar Heroes. We'll have a fight and I'll win.
Oh, look, man, you got the good Ghostbusters game. I did not.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, like I said earlier, I love Ninja Turtles. I've been collecting Ninja Turtles comics ever since I was a kid. That was definitely a huge passion and still is. You know, like I said, Nintendo. I did play Pokemon a lot. I used to play Pokemon competitively. Did you know that?
Competitively, yes. You were the bug type trainer who went far in a tournament, right?
Yeah. So the Pokemon National Championship was held in Indianapolis for some number of years, and you could enter a last chance qualifier to be in it, which I did. And I got, I think, like 5 wins in a row, which meant I was playing against people who had won at qualifying events around the country. And beating them, and I just had a bug type team, and they just I was shutting people down left and right. But it was a good day. I was and I ended up being ranked like 7th in the state of Indiana because of that. And
that's not
I forget where I was nationally, but yeah, you know, man, nothing to shake a stick at.
So you like Ninja Turtles?
Oh, I love Ninja Turtles.
What'd you think of the Ninja Turtles Ghostbusters crossover from announcement to inception, or from inception to final product?
Oh, I mean, I love the comic. Totally love the comic to the point where we put references into that comic in the second Circle City Ghostbusters fan film. Cause I was like, yeah, we're making references to the turtles here. In that comic in particular. And I've met Eric Burnham like 3 times and just gushed every single time. I just turn into a blubbering fanboy when I talk to him. So I'm sure he thinks I'm a weirdo, but I love that. And then the figures were cool. I've got the figures. It's funny, like I know a lot of people when they do, you know, podcast stuff like this, they've got all their collection, their cool stuff behind them. I've got my comics behind me, but all my Ghostbuster stuff is in front of me because when I'm working, I like to look up at it and remember that life's not the daily grind, you know. But I've got the Ninja Turtles Ghostbusters figures right up there, and I love those things. They're so funny to me. They're just goofy looking. And I was just happier than heck that they did an official crossover. I mean, other than Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, which, you know. Love that one.
Hey, man, what's the Avengers? What's the Justice League Cartoon All-Stars?
Yeah, you got Kevin Feige talking about the most ambitious crossover of all time, and I was like, man, you ain't talking about Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. They're the Muppet Babies in there.
So Josh Chitwood chimes in chat, which, by the way, Sean McFadden said that we're both handsome. Sorry, guys, I haven't been answering the chat really tonight because I'm just,
we this is talking, how
I knew that, how this was going to go. When Kristen asked me to, she's like, hey, I'm going out of town. And I'm like, well, I'm still on the Men from Surgery. I've been streaming in my private life right now and like working on my content creation for my job. And I was like, I could do this. And she was, you know, her and IT producer Norm were like, well, who are you going to interview? And I'm like, oh, that's easy. I'll just talk to you. I'm like, man, I feel bad for that check because I ain't going to pay attention. Oh, it hurts to laugh. Josh says in chat, Sean said there were a couple handsome guys, and I'm not.
Sean's a handsome guy.
Sean McFadden's a handsome guy. You're vice president. Soon to be president because that's how your charter works.
Oh, yeah. He's getting it. Yeah. He's taking all of the troubles. No, I'm just kidding. This has been nothing but a pleasure. So
Josh Chitwood says that you're a music fan as well.
That's true. I love to listen to music. I had 2 concerts I did this last weekend, and I saw
one of them. If you can guess which one I was jealous of.
You were jealous of the Gimmies. I got to see Mutants of the Gimme Goomies for the first time ever, which was amazing. They opened the show playing Jolene. I mean, how do you top it?
That's pretty cool, man.
You're just in, and you're just eating out of the lead singer's hand the whole time. You're just like, this guy knows what he's Spike's awesome. But yeah, I saw the Gimmies and on Saturday, and then Sunday it was Deathclock and Dragon Force. I've seen Deathclock like 4 times, but I'd never seen Dragon Force, and I love Dragon Force. And they played their Legend of Zelda song, and that made me really happy. They have a song about Link to the Past.
The best Zelda game, so much appreciated.
Teach their own. I'm a Majora's Mask fan myself. Don't you Majora's Mask?
Scary as heck game. I'm fine. I didn't do it. I almost did, but I didn't. So we have time for a couple more questions here. One of the questions, let's talk about you guys and your fan film cinematic universe. Because when I think Circle City Ghostbusters, I think of a great group of people that are doing really amazing things, blah, blah, blah. But I would say your major claim to fame is your highly well-produced and extremely high-quality fan films. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So in 2016 was when we made our first one. And
was that the Demigorgon one?
No.
Okay.
2016 was one where it was supposed to be like the real Ghostbusters intro. So it's like we're all farting around in the firehouse, and then we get a call and we go and catch a ghost. Yes, and it's set to the Fallout Boy Ghostbusters theme with a little bit of the score from Answer the Call. So Mike Culver is our video guy who has, you know, he works for the Colts doing video stuff. So
Mike's a great videographer.
And photographer, and he kind of, you know, directed and shot and edited that first one all on his own, and it just did a knockout job with it. And that ended up on sci-fi.com's list of like 5 best Ghostbusters fan films. It was number 2, right behind Spilled Milk.
And that's impressive, because Spilled Milk is like the highest standard when it comes to our hobby and the fan films.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that it had spread that far, to be honest. So then we did another one, and this one actually has, you know, a plot. It was called Stranger Things in the Neighborhood. Yes. And so obviously it was a Stranger Things crossover. We are from Indiana, and Hawkins is in Indiana, so that was kind of a no-brainer to do a crossover kind of like that. And plus, everyone always has, or at least I did when I was growing up, I'd always watch a horror movie and I'd be like, the Ghostbusters would take care of this problem in 10 seconds. This would be nothing. They would just ghosts in the TV, whatever, trap it.
I always said Poltergeist would have been over in 10 minutes if we were there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a bit of the genesis of it. And so we wrote it and shot it, and, you know, then COVID hit, and that was where the editing kind of happened. Nick had helped Mike with a lot of the editing, and it was in a pretty, or I don't know, I guess I can't really say like how far along it was, because when COVID hit, Mike lived really close to me, and I would just go over to his apartment. I'd buy a pizza and crash the place, and we'd be there for hours editing and doing the effects, and I learned a lot. I learned so much, in fact, that I started doing video editing at my real job and have gotten a promotion because just by watching Mike edit a Ghostbusters fan film. So if you are ever thinking that this is a silly hobby and you're not getting anything out of it, that is not true. You just gotta...
I shot a TV pilot because of it, so...
Exactly.
I get
it. I guess this is a message for the masses, for those that might be watching, just... These are great experiences you can have sometimes, and you can take them other places in life. But so yeah, we put out Stranger Things in the Neighborhood. I think it has like 70,000 or 80,000 views on Facebook. So that did pretty well. And I know you've always said very nice things about it, which I've appreciated. And we got it into a couple of film festivals, and were nominated for awards. I don't think we won any of them, but we did get nominated for awards, so that was pretty good.
That's half the battle.
Yeah.
And you guys have a whole community. We're running. We're not running. I could run this however I want. I'm in charge tonight. Norm ain't here to tell me to stop. We're wrapping it up. There's a whole community of Ghostbuster fan films that like share a continuity almost.
Yeah, there's the Ghostbusters cinematic fan film universe. I'm sure I'm butchering that and saying it wrong, but yeah, we weren't in it until Stranger Things in the Neighborhood. They let us in. They were really impressed with it and liked it. It's on YouTube. I think you can find a playlist of all.
I will make sure Norm shares it on social media after the fact, so our fans at home could see it.
But it's so great. I love the creativity of everybody's fan films, and we've got like five irons in the fire for our next one. We've been working on them, and Nick is doing an amazing job making a bunch of creature costumes for them. And I think we're really close to filming our Christmas one. I'm very excited about that one. So
that's amazing.
Hopefully soon, but don't quote me on that.
I want an exclusive. Will we see Krampus?
Ooh, will you see Krampus in the Christmas one?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. Fine. Now you heard that first here. Everybody out Why We Bust. All right, Jacob. So we're hitting the end of the show here. I think we've covered pretty much everything except the burning question that is on everybody's mind and the namesake of the show. Mm-hmm. Why do you bust?
Well, aside from the obvious answer of it makes me feel good, it
that's the cop out answer. I'm not going to accept that. Let's try again.
No. I have a better one, and I said it. And we were recently interviewed for a magazine called This Is North Indy, and we were on the cover of it, which was crazy. And I had a quote in there that I guess resonated with a lot of people. I had a lot of people tell me about it, and it was, if I'm going to dress up like a superhero, I may as well act like one. You know. This is just a really great excuse to help in my community and to make a difference. And, you know, the world's a crazy place and there might be a lot of bad stuff going on, but when I throw on a flight suit and raise a couple thousand dollars for charity, it makes a little more sense, or at least I can not feel as much despair.
Yeah. You know?
Not that I feel a lot of despair all the time. I'm a fairly happy fella, but, you know, it's fun, and you get to feel good and make tons of friends. Why the heck wouldn't you do it?
So you are the first guest on Why We Bust that's from a different team, even though you are a part of Windy City Ghostbusters.
I'm in the Windy City Ghostbusters, as my shirt says.
Yes, but you are a member of Circle City, so it would not be fair for me not to let you plug, because everybody on here has been Windy City Ghostbusters all the moment. Where can people find your stuff at?
Oh, ccghostbusters.com is going to be your best bet, or circlecityghostbusters.com, or indianaghostbusters.com.
ccghostbusters.com. I'm putting that in chat across the board.
If you go on Facebook and search for Circle City Ghostbusters, that's where you'll find us. We're at ccghostbusters on Twitter, at Circle City Ghostbusters on Instagram. We are probably at Circle City Ghostbusters on TikTok.
Hey,
we're circles.
You guys have a link tree on your website?
No, but the website has links.
That's fine. As long as you got one.
And then, on YouTube, look for Circle City Ghostbusters. We've been trying to do a lot more video content this year. We've got a couple fun videos. We posted one up for the eclipse that just happened because we were in complete totality, which was absolutely insane. But we did a silly little video for that. So.
That was a lot of fun.
Check it out.
Yes,
it was.
Jacob, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come talk to me. Not like we weren't going to do this anyway. This was just a little bit more structure.
I was gonna say, if this wasn't being streamed, then it would just be you and me gossiping like old
on
women
the phone. Yes. God, I haven't laughed this much since my surgery, so it's good to laugh.
As long as it's not hurting you.
Oh, hurting me, but it's fine. You know,
it
gotta
so good.
I really appreciate you coming on, guys. Make sure you check out the Circle City Ghostbusters on all the social medias. Windy City Ghostbusters hosts the Why We Bust Project. You guys can find us
across all social media platforms at WCGB or just at Windy City Ghostbusters or fill in the blank. If you guys are watching on Twitch or YouTube, make sure you guys are hitting that follow button. And that way there, you guys can follow all the stuff. The Why We Bust comes out every week on Thursday at 7 o'clock Central, or as Jacob calls, 8 o'clock real people time.
That's right. That's correct. That's how you would pronounce that.
So normal people time, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, or 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central. Every Thursday we interview another member of the Ghostbusters community and find out why we bust. Thank you guys so much for watching the episode, and we really appreciate having all of you guys on. I love you guys so much. Oh, bye there, everybody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development.